Okay, good morning, everyone. As always, we welcome everyone to our Sunday morning shiur. The topic of today's shiur is something which is a mitzvah in the Torah, which we all know about, but the extent of it is not fully appreciated, and especially in today's times, things get a little complicated. So therefore, I'd like to speak about the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, the mitzvah of honoring parents, and specifically in situations which go beyond the traditional family. In other words, we know simply the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim by parents, the mitzvah of honoring parents. I'd like to discuss how it applies to other situations, step-parents, adopted parents, irreligious parents, situations where where you have a ger, for example, what would be the din in that case, and so forth, in-laws. So hopefully we'll get to all of these points, Be'ez Hashem. The mitzvah of kibud av v'aim is very, very interesting mitzvah. In fact, you know, people think it's not such a big deal to honor one's parents, but I'll just show you, if you look at this book, this is an entire volume that was written by Rav Yitzchok Yosef, the son of Rav Avadi Yosef, Zichrono Livracha, and this entire volume is packed with halachas and analysis of the laws of kibud av v'aim. So therefore, it's obviously not such a simple thing. And in fact, the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin tells us at one point that when in discussing the intricacies of these laws, the Gemara says, in a certain sense, a child who was born orphaned has one thing going for him, and that is that he doesn't have the tremendous responsibility of kibud av v'aim, meaning that the mitzvah is such a difficult mitzvah to fulfill properly, that in that sense, Ashrei Mishalo Chaman, the Gemara says that in a certain sense, a person who never saw his parents due to the fact that they passed away, you know, obviously the father before he was born, the mother while he was born, or whatever it may be. So in that situation, the child has one, as difficult a situation as that may be, but the one thing he has going for him is that at least he doesn't have the stringencies of the demands of the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. On the other hand, obviously, it's a very beautiful mitzvah, and it's really the hallmark of the Klal Yisrael, that tremendous reverence is given to parents and to grandparents. And, you know, whereas, unfortunately, today in the secular world, there's a great deal of disrespect that's shown to such people, but the Torah has always been the backbone of the way Jews lead their lives, and the demands of the mitzvah kibud av v'aim are very strong. So I'd like to begin just by looking at the one Gemara, which is found in Maseches Kedushin. And again, the crux of today's shiur is not going to be so much on the ins and outs of the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, of honoring parents in itself, but rather how it applies in situations which are a little bit beyond the typical family. So the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin, we have it here on the top of the sheet, the Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph tells us that there are actually two mitzvahs. There are two mitzvahs involved when a person deals with his parents. The famous one, which was in the Aseres HaDibros, we read yesterday, Kabedes Avicha Vesimecha, that a person should honor his father and his mother. But there is another pasuk which is found in Parshas Kedoshim later on, where the pasuk says, Ish imo va'aviv tiro, that a man should fear his mother and his father. In other words, there are two mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of honoring parents, and there's the mitzvah of revering. Fear is not exactly the right word, but having reverence for parents. Those are both mitzvahs. Okay, so the Gemara here tells us, Tanu Rabbanan, Ezeu Mora Vezeu Kibud. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the difference between these two mitzvahs? What constitutes reverence for parents, and what constitutes honor for parents? So says the Gemara, Mora, reverence for parents means, lo omeid bimkomo, that a person should not, using the example of a father, that a person should not stand in his father's place if his father has a specific place where he stands. Velo yeshev bimkomo, nor should he sit in his father's place. And this applies equally to a mother. The Gemara is just picking one. Okay, it's the same thing by both parents. Okay, velo soser es dvarav, and a child should not contradict something that a parent says. If a parent has a certain opinion, the child cannot contradict it. The child cannot come out and say, I don't agree, or the child cannot come out and publicly voice an opinion that different from the parents, right? Just if the father is a Republican and the child is a Democrat, so you can't sit there and argue about it. If the father says, "I think that Obama's doing a great job," so as painful as that may be, or vice versa, right? So you have to sit there and if it's the other way, right? So you have to sit there and take it. The child cannot be soser dvarav. He cannot contradict what the parent says. V'lo machriyo, nor can he be machriyo, meaning nor can he come and decide in a dispute. If his parent is involved in a dispute with somebody else, he cannot come out and say that, "Well, I'll tell you the truth, I think the other person's right." Okay, this is a very difficult halacha, which is shocking to most people when you first read this, because you say, "One second, that wasn't my experience as a child." But this is the demand of the halacha, the halacha of kibud av v'em, or in this case, mora, of revering a parent, is a very difficult halacha to keep. It's one of the considered by the Chazal one of the most difficult mitzvahs in the Torah to fulfill. And therefore, this is how far it goes. This is how far it goes. It's very common that a child growing up gets into a disagreement with a parent. It happens all the time, and sometimes could be a very passionate disagreement. But really, according to the dictates of halacha, the child's not supposed to argue. In other words, if a parent says something and the child thinks that the parent is wrong, the child has to just sit there and smile and not say anything. That is the demand of the mitzvah of mora. Okay? And then the Gemara continues, what is kibud? What is the mitzvah that we had in the parasha yesterday of honoring parents? So the Gemara says that would be machil umashke, to give the parent to eat and to drink, okay? To give them food, which is a question, we'll see whether that means from his own money or from the parent's money, but to help the parent. In other words, if the parent needs help going shopping, for example, so the child has to offer to say, "I'll go shopping, okay, I'll take care of that." Malbish u'mechasa, to make sure that the parent has clothing. Machnis u'motzi, and to escort the parent wherever the parent goes. So these are the mitzvahs. These are the mitzvahs, the basic guidelines of the mitzvahs of kibud av v'em and mora av v'em. The Gemara here is cryptic, as often is the case, but the way it's explained in the Rishonim is that it comes out that essentially a child, when it comes to honoring a parent, and the child has to be willing and ready to assist the parent in anything that they need assistance in, sort of almost like a servant to a master, almost to that extent. That the parent comes back from Publix and there's a carload full of groceries, so the child has to come right out and say, "I'll help you unpack it, not that I'm busy texting my friend and you deal with it, you're the one that went shopping." Okay, so that's something that a child has to do. Okay, not only that, but the Gemara tells us that this has to be done happily. This has to be done b'sever panim yafos, that if a child performs the mitzvah of honoring parents, but does it in a way that they're showing that they're upset about it, that also is improper. And the Gemara goes to the extent to say that yesh meichel pisyoni, that it's possible for a child to go ahead and prepare a delicious feast for a parent. I think the case the Gemara is referring to is some sort of bird, a duck, or whatever it is that's stuffed with all kinds of delicacies, and the child presents it to the parents, and the Gemara says it's possible to do that and yet be punished for it. How would you be punished for that? Because if the child does it and shows a look of contempt, if the child does the mitzvah but shows the parent that "I'm upset, I'm annoyed that I have to do this," so the Gemara says that would be considered a situation where even though the act in itself, what the child prepared for the parent, was a terrific thing, but nevertheless it was not done nicely, and therefore the Gemara says that such a thing would bring an onesh, would bring a punishment upon the child. And conversely, the Gemara says, yesh tochno berechayim, that sometimes you could have a situation where a child prepares something much more minimal, a meager type of thing, because the child couldn't do any better, but yet they'll be zocha to great reward because they did it happily. So therefore, it's not just the mitzvah, it's not just the act in itself as far as what was done, but the way in which it was done also goes into the mitzvah of kibud av v'em, that it should be done b'sefer panim yafos. Similarly, we have a halacha that a child is not, people are not familiar with this and is very rarely kept, that really, according to the letter of the law, a child is supposed to stand up when the parent enters the room, much in the same way that you stand up when a rav would walk into the room. A child is supposed to stand up when the parent walks into the room as well. These are all laws as far as kibud of the aim, as far as honoring a father, and applies equally to a mother. And when it comes to the mitzvah of moro, when it comes to the mitzvah of ish imav aviv tiro, of revering parents, so that, as the Gemara said, that would include not sitting in the parent's seat, not interrupting a parent when they're speaking, which is, again, a very challenging halacha for most children to keep, not contradicting them, and not calling them by their first names. A child not allowed to call a parent by the first name. There was recently an article in the Wall Street Journal, I don't know if anyone saw it, that spoke about the trend, the new trend today. It already for a while has been the trend for many years already that people call their in-laws by their first name, which we'll get to that. But it's become the trend today that children even call their own parents by their first name. So this is something which is forbidden by the Torah. This is included in Ish Imov Aviv Tiro, that a child has to revere a parent and therefore cannot call the parent by the first name. So these are the basic laws of Kibud Av V'Aim. So we'll get to that. So these are just, you know, as I say, this is just an overview, and really, if one wanted to study these halachas, there's a great deal of analysis that goes into it. There are many situations, as I say, a whole sefer here, thick sefer that was written specifically on this mitzvah, on these mitzvahs, but this is just a brief overview of what the mitzvah entails. Now, there is one point that should be mentioned, which is that a parent has the ability to be mochel on their kavod, that a parent has the ability to forego their honor, and in some cases it's actually advisable for a parent to do that in general terms, so that the child is not held to task on such a difficult mitzvah. In other words, as we say, a lot of these points that were just mentioned are very nice, but you know, everyone knows from life experience, it's very difficult, especially raising children, teenagers, when they begin to get their own opinions, begin to voice them, and very often get into disagreements with their parents, which is forbidden by the Torah, not allowed to do that. So therefore, really what a lot of times happens is that a parent is mochel the strict dictates of the law. In other words, the parent will say that, you know, it's okay, I don't mind, especially when it comes to something like standing up when the parent enters the room, which is very hard to do. A parent comes in, on a constant basis. So what happens a lot of times is that a parent, it may even be advisable to do this, that a parent will say to the child, you don't have to stand up for me, it's fine, I'm mochel. Now that doesn't mean that if the child does it, it's a waste of time. That just means the chiyuv, the obligation, is removed, but the kiyum ha-mitzvah would still be there. In other words, if a child did it, they would still be fulfilling the mitzvah of honoring their parents, but it would at least take the strict dictates of the halacha and make it a little bit easier. This is true by the mitzvah of kabed asavicha v'esimecha, as far as the mitzvah of revering parents, of ish imav aviv tiro, so there it's not quite as simple. There is a discussion in the poskim whether it applies to that also, because some of those things, you know, to be mochel on would mean that, is it possible that a child could call the parent by the first name if the parent is mochel? So this is a discussion. The consensus of the poskim seems to be that you could be mochel on this too. However, it is not recommended for a child to take advantage of this mechila. In other words, for a child to go ahead and openly contradict the parent because the parent says, I don't mind, is not a good thing necessarily. In certain situations, you know, they want to have a discussion at the table, and they, you know, a parent is trying to, you know, teach the child to think or to be open-minded. So then, okay, you know, the person could say, I don't mind if you argue with me. But in general, it's not a good habit for a child to get into, to go ahead and just disregard the reverence of his parents. Yes?
Does this extend, say, to aunts and uncles?
Yeah, so because, that's a good question.
Yeah,
so,
because as you get older,
right,
you tend to call them by the first name, not Aunt Ruthie.
Right.
Ben,
so,
you know?
so the truth is, the mitzvah is said only by children. In other words, it extends to an aunt and an uncle or something like that. There's no mitzvah directly. You don't have the strict chiyuvim, the strict obligation that the Torah says. But nevertheless, there is an inyan of derech eretz. There's no question that there's an inyan of derech eretz, and it's not really a good thing that parents should, that a child should call any relative, or quite frankly, any older person. You know, the world has changed. When I grew up, you didn't call an older person by their first name. Anyone who was older, you just didn't call them by their first name. It was just the way it was. Today, this is all, you know, I get phone calls all the time from people I don't know, soliciting things over the phone, you know, and they start speaking to me, you know, hello, David, how are you? Who are you? You don't even know me. Who are you? You know, how you doing? How's it going? You know, like my best friend is calling me. You know, sometimes I say, you know, do you have any idea how old I am? You know, you get some, even from stock organizations, you know, the marketing, whatever, you know, they start calling you up and talking to you like the best friend. You know, take it easy. You know, you don't know who I am. You know, so it's all fine and good. But there is an inyan of derech eretz which has become unfortunately trampled upon in today's world, which is a different discussion and really a disaster. So when it comes to other relatives, older relatives, a person should speak with respect, but you don't have the obligation. In other words, the thing about the mitzvah of Kabbis Avicha and the mitzvah of Ishim Avav Tiro is that these are chiyuvim, these are obligations. A person, there's no way around it, and the Torah has very, very strict demands of these mitzvahs. Now, as far as, you know, why is it that the Torah, you know, puts such a mitzvah on a person? And, you know, so naturally we think that the reason for that would be because, well, the parent does so much for the child. The parent raises the child and supports them and sends them to school and so forth. But it's very interesting that we find in the second rendition of the Aseres HaDibros, which is in Parshas Veschanon. Okay, so the Torah says a slightly different wording than we have in yesterday's parsha, and the Torah tells us, "Kabed es avicha vesimecha kasher tzivcha Hashem lokecha." It says you should honor your father and your mother, kasher tzivcha Hashem lokecha, like Hashem has commanded you, which is like an odd thing to say because these are the Aseres HaDibros. I mean, this is where God is commanding us. But it says kasher tzivcha Hashem lokecha, like God has already commanded you. So what does that mean? So Rashi tells us here in the Pasuk that it means that this was actually said before the Torah was given. Because in last week's parasha, we mentioned last week that when the Jews arrived after crossing the Amsuf in a place called Mara, they came to a place where the water was bitter. So it says that Sham Samlo Chokum Mishpat, that there they were given certain mitzvahs. And as we mentioned last week, one of the mitzvahs that they were given was the mitzvah of honoring parents. So therefore, the Torah tells us in the Aseres HaDibros that honor your parents like I have commanded you already in Mara. So interestingly, the Mefarshim ask, why is that important? Like, why did the Torah have to mention that? Who cares where you commanded? You know, what difference does it really make? You commanded here, you commanded there. What difference does it make? So, in a number of the Mefarshim, in the Ksav Sofer, Meshech Chochma, other Mefarshim, they say a very interesting thing, that what the Torah is trying to say is that you have to honor your parents, and you were commanded this in the Midbar, you were commanded this in the desert. Now, what really did a child need from a parent when the Jews were in the desert? Right? The food fell from heaven. They walked out every morning. The food was there. Their clothing grew with them. Right? The Torah says later on in Sefer Devarim, Simloscha lo bolso me'alecha, right? That they never had to buy new clothes. As a person grew miraculously, the clothing grew with them. Their clothing never needed to be laundered. All of their physical needs were taken care of. So, yet, the Torah says, in other words, even though you were commanded this mitzvah in a place, this mitzvah was given in a place where you didn't need your parents. I mean, obviously they needed the parents for guidance and so forth, but a lot of the tircha that was involved, right, it wasn't a question you had to send your kid to school. However, they learned the Torah in the Midbar. I don't think there was an issue that you had to go negotiate tuitions with people or any other difficulties. It was all simple. It was all a very simple life. And nevertheless, kabbe asavicha vesimecha. So therefore, the Mefarshim are telling us that the essence of the mitzvah is not due to the fact, not necessarily due to the fact that they spent so much tircha, that they spent so much effort, expended so much effort on your behalf, but rather because the Torah, like the Gemara tells us, and I regret it's not on the sheet, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Kedushin, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, on the bottom of Daf Lamed Amid Beis, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha Shutfin Ba'adam. There are three partners in the creation of a human being. And those three partners are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'aviv, V'imo. The three partners are Hashem, his father, and his mother. And the Gemara proceeds to say that when a person honors his parents, Hashem says that I view it as if they're honoring me. Because ultimately, the mitzvah of honoring parents makes it, if a person has an appreciation for their parents, so ultimately they will appreciate Hashem also. Now, that's really an underlying theme. The Gemara says in a number of places that the huksha kvodim kenega kavod hamakom, that the honor that is given to parents is comparable to the honor given to Hashem, because this is a vehicle of a person appreciating what Hashem does for him. When a person has the demands of keeping the mitzvahs, and it says so many mitzvahs, it's so hard to do, so someone who's sensitized to keep it of aim, somebody who's sensitized to appreciating parents, would have an easier time accepting the mitzvahs, because if this is what I have to do for my parents, it's certainly for Hashem who gives me life. So the Gemara tells us over here that the essence of it is because of the fact that parents brought the child into the world. That the parents brought the child, everything that the child has as life is due to the efforts and the participation of three beings, of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the father, and the mother. And therefore, as we will see, it comes out that there is an obligation to honor parents, even in a case where the parents were not involved in the upbringing of the child. Because the fact of the matter is that the tircha in itself is not the main point of the mitzvah. It's not because of that. It's not because, oh, they, you know, got up in the middle of the night when he was a child, they rushed him to the doctor whenever he needed medical attention. Right? That, it wasn't, it's not that. That's also an inyan of Hakara Satov, of appreciating what was done. But the essence of the mitzvah is because of the fact that the parents brought the child into the world. And everything that the child is going to have is going to be based on that. Okay, so therefore, these are the mitzvahs of Kibud Av V'Aim and Mora Av V'Aim. And just one last point before we get into the topic of today's shir. We have in the Rambam, actually, it's not in Sheet either, I don't think. Let's see. The Rambam, no, it's not here. The Rambam says, when he speaks about the laws of Kibud Av V'Aim, that there is a question: to what degree does a child have to honor parents? Does a child actually have to support the parents? So the Rambam we don't have, but the Chai Adam, which is on the sheet, it's a little hard to read. The Chai Adam says that technically, when the Gemara says that a child has to has to give food and drink to the parents, so the Gemara in Kedushin, those familiar with it will recall that the Gemara says that that is at the parents' expense, meaning that the child technically does not have to spend his own money to honor his parents, and he could take the money if the parents, you know, going to Publix for the parents, he could ask the parents for their credit card to swipe. Okay, so the Diadem says, but that is only true if the parents have money. Meaning, if the parents are able to sustain themselves, so then the child is not obligated to go support the parents if the parents have the ability to do so themselves. However, what happens in a situation where the parents cannot support themselves, where for whatever reason they can't do it? So then the Chai Adam says, and this is the consensus of the poskim, v'im ein lohem, on the top line there, v'im ein lohem, the yesh leben, if they don't have, but the child does, Kofin also v'zano samishalo b'taras tztaka, that the child, Bezdin, obligates the child to go ahead and support the parents. He could count it as tztaka, but he can't just leave them. He can't just say, well, sorry, you know, the Gemara says that I only have to honor you if I have money. When the Gemara says, Mishel Ben, which is the conclusion of the Gemara Maseches Kedushin, that the honoring of parents is supposed to come from the Mishalav, from the parents' money, that's only, all the Gemara meant to say by that is if the parents have the money. In other words, I might have thought that a child has to honor parents, he has to honor even at his own expense. So the Gemara says, no, if they have the money, so it's true, you have to give them food and drink, but that means that they'll pay for it, then you prepare it for them. In other words, a child should go and prepare the food for the parents. If they need that help, the child's obligated to drop what they're doing and go to the parents' house and cook the meals for them. The actual payment of the bills could go from the parents' account, but that's so long as the parents have the money. If the parents do not have the money, then it becomes an obligation on the child, but only you know, this already becomes a shaila. It happens a lot today where, you know, people, elderly people don't have the abilities to support themselves, and to what degree it becomes a chiv on the child. So obviously the child doesn't have to go into debt in order to support their parents. But nevertheless, this is considered a tzedaka, and a tzedaka that they're obligated to give. So therefore they should, by whatever they have to do to keep the parents going, that's what they, within their means, so long as they have the ability to do it, they're obligated to do. Okay, so this is a basic overview of these mitzvahs. And as I say, if one looks carefully into these halachas, you see very, very difficult to keep properly the mitzvahs of kibbutz of aim. It's very strict halacha, but the purpose of the mitzvah, really, it's a focal point of the Torah, much in the same way as Hakaras HaTov in general. Showing appreciation is a central theme in the Torah. Right? The Jews put a great deal of emphasis and importance on Hakaras HaTov, and the reason for that is because ultimately if a person is sensitized to Hakaras HaTov, a person will be a more God-fearing individual. Because of the fact that the ultimate Hakaras HaTov, a person is honest and recognizes that I have so many needs and there are so many things that on a daily basis that I need and that I have to take care of, and you know, a lot of times we don't focus on and we take for granted. But if a person becomes sensitized to that, so then ultimately they'll be more observant in the mitzvahs, because they'll say, all right, then I surely have to show appreciation to Hashem. So the dictates and demands of kabbis of icha, of honoring parents, and ishimov of thiro, or revering parents, are very, very strong. Okay, so having said that, the question now comes, what about to other family members who are parents, but not parents in the most literal sense? Okay, so today, especially in the world, there are a lot of situations where you have step-parents, adopted parents, and so forth. So how does it apply in those situations? So the first thing I'd like to speak about would be a situation of step-parents. A step-parent meaning that if, for example, the parents were divorced and they remarried, or one of them remarried. Okay, so now you have a situation where the father, let's say, the father or one of the parents passed away and the other parent remarried. So now you have a step-parent. So what is the obligation of kibbutz of aim in that situation? So if we look here in the on the sheet, in the Gemara Maseches Ksubis, a little small print, but the Gemara tells us here on the first line, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, B'shas p'tirasel shel Rebbe, that when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was on his deathbed, when he was in his last days, Omar, he said, Livni ani tzarech. He said, I need, please bring me my children. When he sensed that the end was coming, he said, please call my children. So the Gemara says, Nichnasu banav etzlo, so his children came in. Omar lehem, hizaru b'chvod imchem. So he said to them, please be careful with the honor of your mother. Be careful, I'm about to pass on, but please be careful with the honor of your mother. This was the first thing that he instructed them. Then the Gemara proceeds to list off other instructions that he gave, but this was number one. So if you skip down a couple of lines, if you skip down two lines, so the Gemara asks the obvious question. The Gemara says, Yizaru b'chod imchem doraisahi. The Gemara says, what did he need to say this to them for? He needed to tell his children that they should be careful with the honor of their mother? This is a mitzvah in the Torah. Diksiv kabiras avicha v'asimecha. Right? It says you have to honor your father and your mother, so of course they have to honor her. Why would he need to tell them this? Says the Gemara, the answer to this is because of the fact that when it says kabed es avicha ve'es imecha, doesn't say kabed avicha ve'imecha. If you're very, you know, literal with the pasuk could have omitted the word es. It could have just, in both instances, it could have just said kabed avicha, honor your father. Why say kabed es avicha? Says the Gemara, es avicha zu eshes avicha. That when it says honor es avicha, the extra word is coming to include the wife of your father. Meaning that if a person's mother passed away, or if the parents were divorced and the father remarried, so a person is obligated in the honor of his father's wife. And so too, Esi Mecha, says the Gemara, Zu Bali Mecha. The Gemara says, Zu Bali Mecha, that this includes the husband of your mother. In other words, in the reverse case, the mother remarried, so a person has an obligation to give honor to the step-parent. Now, this is something which is a very, very sensitive issue, obviously, and in real life, when this happens, a lot of times this is not such a simple matter, but this is the halacha. This is the halacha that is a daraisa. The Torah is saying that a person has to give honor to the person who his parent remarried, even though that person is not their parent at all. Okay, now why is that? So the Mefarshim here explain that the reason for this, you'll say, well, one second, we said before that the whole point is that the parent brought the child into the world. So this person, this man who my mother remarried, or this woman who my father remarried, it has nothing to do with me. It's not the person who brought me into the world. Nevertheless, the Mefarshim say the reason for this is because this is an extension of the honor that you have to give the parent. So if a person has to honor his father, an extension of that is that he has to honor his father's wife, not because of her inherently, but because she is a meaningful person to his father. So if she is a meaningful person to his father, so if he has to honor his father, this is included in that. So the mitzvah is not a mitzvah because of the person themselves, but rather because of their connection to a parent. And the nafkamina, the halachic relevance of that would be that what would be if the parent passes on? In other words, the father remarries and the father passes away. So now, does he still have to honor the woman who his father was married to? So now, yeah, this is an interesting situation because you'll say, well, you know, that's it, right? In other words, if the whole issue here is that it's an extension of my father's honor, so you'll say, well, in other words, in my father's lifetime, to go ahead and be disrespectful to her is disrespectful to my father. In other words, I'm showing I don't agree with who he married. I'm being disrespectful, right? Or to my mother, and my mother remarried. I'm being disrespectful to her, right? So that's so long as there's an issue of respect. But once the parent passes away, so then really technically it would come out that the chiyuv of kibbutz. Again, we have to understand we're speaking here about the obligation of kibbutz avicha, which is more than just simply being nice. Okay, in other words, the Torah's chiyuvim of kibud and mora apply are demands more than just, you know, saying hello and not being obnoxious, right? They're very, very strict demands. In other words, based on what we're saying, if for example, a father remarried and now this woman who he remarried has gotten older, she's gotten on in years, and she can't cook anymore. It's too hard for her to cook. So the child of the father would be obligated to go to the house and cook for her. Even though he could say to his father, you know, listen, this is who you married, so you know, you're stuck. You know, she can't cook anymore, what's after with me? The answer is no, it does have to do, because this is an extension of the father's honor. But once the father passed away, so does it go that far? So the poskim say that, in fact, it doesn't really go that far, that once the parent passes away, the strict dictates of the Torah no longer apply. However, it's still appropriate that a person should show respect. In other words, even if we will say that the mitzvah in the Torah no longer, with its strict demands, no longer applies, but nevertheless, a person still has to be menschlich. And if this was the person who his parent was married to, so just because now the parent passed on, to just simply say, well, you know, so long, it's been nice knowing you, that's not appropriate. That's not appropriate, but technically speaking, the chiv of the Torah applies, but I just want to point out that when it applies, it's only the mitzvahs of honoring that apply, but the mitzvah of revering, the mitzvah of mora, does not apply. In other words, so to a step-parent, there would be an inyan to go help them, shop for them, and to cook for them, and things of that nature. If they need help around the house, absolutely, that would be an obligation to do. As far as other things, like not contradicting them, so that is in the topic of mora, that's in the topic of reverence, that does not apply to a step-parent, even in the parent's lifetime. In other words, the extension is only to cover, because there's an inyan of cover. The point, see, this is because the underlying reason why a person has to do this is because not that the step-parent inherently commands the respect, but because my parent commands that respect. This is respecting a parent. Respecting a parent is respecting who they chose to marry. who they chose to remarry. So therefore, it only applies to that. But as far as reverence goes, it has nothing to do, so that even in the lifetime, those obligations would not apply. Yes?
If the step-parent subsequently remarries someone else,
yeah.
Is there any diminishing?
Not really. No. But again, you know, there's... See, beyond Kibbutz of Aim, there is the general Indian of Hakaras HaTov, which we'll see soon, you know, how where that plays in. But there is a basic idea. In other words, if the step-parent played a role in the child's life, so it would be wrong to just abandon them. Like, how so many years or whatever it may be. You know, every situation is different. Now, I'll be honest, this could get very sticky, and it does in situations of divorces where you sometimes could have a situation where the actual parent says one thing and the step-parent says a different thing. In other words, this happens not uncommonly, right? That, let's say, for example, a couple gets divorced, the father remarries, and now, you know, so the wife and the, you know, his wife and the child's mother don't agree on certain issues. So it could get very, very sticky. But because of the fact that this is an extension of the father's honor, just using the example that I'm giving, it's an extension of the father's honor, so therefore it's a big shiloh what to do in that. You can't just simply say, well, this is my mother, so I'm going to listen to my... It's not so simple, because this is your father. You say, this woman is an extension of my father's honor, so it's not such a simple thing. So in fact, there is a question in the poskim which is discussed, that what happens in a situation where the actual parent says, I don't want you respecting the person who, he remarried, or she remarried. I don't want you respecting them, which unfortunately happens also, right? So in a case like that, there is a big question in the poskim who you listen to, and the basic idea that seems to be is that technically a parent does come before the step-parent, even though the step-parent is an extension of the other parent. But nevertheless, the actual parent comes first, but it's not such a simple thing. So what I think people are told is that in cases where it's contentious, which often happens, so to show honor to the step-parent in the presence of the parent could be a little bit, maybe something that the child should use discretion. And you know, seichel here comes into play to a very great extent, but nevertheless, these are real shilas, and halacha is not a simple thing what the answer is in these cases. Yeah, yes?
I just want a clarification of what you said before. You said that it's okay for a stepchild to contradict a step-parent?
Yes, technically, because that's mora, that's ishim avav tiro.
I'm talking about with the parent. With the parent
is
married to the step-parent is a lot.
Right. So to contradict. But when we say here you can't contradict, so that means even in a regular discussion. In other words, if the parent says, I like steak well done, and you say, that's ridiculous. It tastes terrible that way. I like it when it's rare. Okay, so even that you couldn't do. Right, so that's one form of contradicting. Then there's contentious contradiction. So, you know, the basic laws of Derech Eretz still apply whether or not the mitzvah of Kibbutz of Aim applies. In other words, this mitzvah is very, very difficult in its demands, very demanding mitzvah, the extent to which it goes. So even if we're saying that there is technically no such mitzvah, it means there's no obligation, that doesn't mean that a child can go ahead and just, you know, say, I really don't care what you say and I don't have to listen to you. That's not the right thing. That's not menschlich. That's not the right thing to do. But technically, the chiyuv of ishim avav tiro would not apply in a case like that. That's the, you know, because of the fact that the reason to honor the step-parent from the standpoint of the mitzvah is because this is an extension of the parent's honor. In other words, this is who my parent married. So if I'm honoring my parents, same way I have to honor my parent by helping them cook or by helping them in their needs. So I have to help them in this too. It's also a very important aspect of life. So I have to be mechabed them. So it's an union of kavod. But mora, since it stems from kavod, so therefore the laws of kibud apply. But the laws of mora are not the chiyuvim of mora. Again, that doesn't absolve a person from basic menschlichkeit. The fact that a person has to be civil and a person has to be respectful and respectful to adults, that still is in play even in this situation. We're talking here about the very specific demands of the Torah of these mitzvahs. Okay, now when it comes to in-laws, okay, so another situation which very often gets interesting. So here we find we find several references. We have it here on the sheet in the Mechilta in yesterday's Pasha. We find a very interesting observation that the Torah says that when Yisrael came to the Jews in the Midbar, so it says that they greeted, it says Moshe went out to greet him, and they greeted each other, and it says that Vayishtachu Vayishaklo. It says in the Parsha that he bowed down to him and he kissed him. Right? That's what the Torah tells us. It says Vayetze Moshe Likras Chosno Vayishtachu, and he bowed down Vayishaklo. But it doesn't say who bowed down to who. And then it says Vayishlu Ishlareel Shalom, that each one asked the other one how they were doing. So we find in the Mechilta it says as follows. If you go to the fourth line here on the page, in the section that's marked Mechilta, the fourth paragraph on the page, so it says Eini Odeya Mi Hishtach VeLumi O Mi Noshach Lumi. That when we read this pasuk, it's unclear who bowed down to who or who kissed who was the active person here. So says the Mechilta Kishu Omer. When the pasuk says Vayishalu Ishla Re'ehu, it says further in the pasuk that they asked Ishla Re'ehu, a man to his fellow man. So says the Chazal, say Mi Kari Ish. Who do we find between these two people, Moshe and Yisrael, who is referred to in the Torah as an Ish? So how will Moshe? Because it says in the pasuk Shenemer Vayish Moshe Anav Maod. Right, we find later on that Moshe Rabbeinu is referred to specifically as Ish Moshe. So based on this, the Chazal understood that when it says that Vayishul Ishlareyehu, it means that Moshe initiated with Yisrael. And therefore, the Chazal say that so too, when it says that he bowed down to him and he kissed him, that this was Moshe who was bowing down to Yisrael. Even though Moshe was the great, great leader, the Rambam says the greatest person that ever lived, and Yisrael was also someone special, but not nearly on the level of Moshe. Nevertheless, Moshe bowed down and embraced Yisrael. So from this, the Chazal say, Ave Omer, lo ishtachve v'lo noshek elo Moshe l'chamav, that Moshe did this because Yisrael was his father-in-law, mikan amru. Based on this, the rabbis say, sheyehe adam muchan l'chvod chamav, that a person is obligated to honor his in-laws. That a person, Moshe, honored Yisrael in this manner because Yisrael was his father-in-law. Even though Moshe was the greater person between the two, there was no question about that. But nevertheless, because Yisrael never performed any of the miracles that Moshe did, it was very clear to everybody who was the greater person. Nevertheless, Moshe bowed down to Yisrael. Moshe embraced Yisrael because Yisrael was his father-in-law. And so too we find in the Navi, in Sefer Shmuel, that David HaMelech referred to Shaul as Avi. Right? There's a pasuk that's quoted, a different chazal, that David called Shaul his father, even though Shaul was not his father, he was his father-in-law. One of David's wives was Michal, the daughter of Shaul, but he called him Avi. So again, from here, the chazal say that we derive from this that a person is obligated in the honor of his parent-in-law. The same thing would apply equally to a mother-in-law. Okay, so now, go ahead.
So I don't remember all the details, but this Melech is supposed to give up his cover.
Right.
Talmud is supposed to give up his cover.
Well, Melech is not allowed. Everyone else, in the conclusion of the Gemara, everyone else can be Melech. Yeah, go ahead.
So Moshe was able to give up his cover?
Moshe, yes. Yeah, but it's not a question of giving over his cover. Oh, you're saying because it's the Melech. Oh, that's a good question. I didn't think of that. That's an interesting question. But essentially, the point is that here it's, I don't know if Moshe had the full status of a king, right? Som tasim alecha melech, the Gemara says that's the basis for the drasha, that you have to place honor upon him and he cannot forego it. I don't know if that would apply to Moshe. Yeah. Was that he was? Right. Aniv is right. The question is, can you, can you just forego is a question. But all right, I think in general, the point here would be that Moshe didn't have the full status. But whatever it is, in other words, the point is an obligation to honor in-laws. Now, why is this? So if we look in the sheet, the very remarkable statement in the Sefer Charedim that says that it is on the first side of the sheet, the final paragraph, he says, V'cheinu ish chayev b'chvod chama v'chamoso. A person is obligated in the honor of his parents-in-law. V'taima, the reason for this is, mishum de'ish v'ishto k'chad gufa chashivi. Because of the fact that a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, are considered as one entity. They're considered as one entity because if you think about it again here, you could ask the question, why should a person be obligated to honor his in-laws? His in-laws didn't bring him into the world. In other words, if the yisod, if the foundation, the underlying principle here is that shlosha shutfim ba'adam, that the people who brought this, that brought me into the world, so it wasn't my in-laws. Nevertheless, but they brought my wife into the world. And since I and my, a person and his wife are considered one unit, so therefore the spouse becomes an extension of who he's married to, who she's married to. So therefore his parents become her parents, and her parents become his parents. And according to this, it would come out that the chiv of kibud av v'em by in-laws is exactly as it is by parents. However, this is actually not, this is a question in the poskim. There are those who say that there is an inyan to honor them, but it's not quite the same as parents. This is a machlokas of poskim. I believe the consensus is that it's not quite the same, it's not quite the same as it is with parents, but it's on a very high level also, which means that really here too, there would be an honor of not degrading them, and certainly, you know, the minhag in the world, which is already for many years, that the modern day practice that a child-in-law calls the in-laws by their first name, this would be foreign to the Torah. This is not something the Torah would approve of, because everybody would agree in this situation that there's an inyan of at least to that extent, there's an inyan at least kishar zakenim, at least like the same reverence that a person has to show to elders or to talmid chachamim. So the same way one is not allowed to call them by their first name, a person would not really be allowed to call their in-laws by their first name either. But it goes beyond that. It goes to the extent that really, according to many poskim, even the basic obligation of as applies to parents would apply to in-laws. But even if we'll take the lenient opinion here, it's still something that a person has to keep in mind. You can't just, you know, very, very often it's well known that, you know, well, the jokes, and the jokes are based often on realities, that there could be strained relationships between in-laws and you know, the people who their children married. But nevertheless, as far as it may not be right for the parents-in-law to be disrespectful to the child or the child's spouse, but as far as the children are concerned, they really have to show a great deal of respect. And the mitzvah of kibud av v'em, I want to mention, the mitzvah of honoring parents applies even in a situation where the parents are being disrespectful to the child or even embarrassing to the child. The Gemara tells us that the extent to which it goes would be that the Gemara says in Kiddushin that if a parent took money and the face of the child, took the money and tossed it into the river, which is something that would anger the child and perhaps even embarrass the child, not something that a person would normally do, and it happened in public, nevertheless, the child cannot say anything. A child cannot respond even in a situation where the parents act in an embarrassing manner in public. And this is something which is unfortunately happens in situations where parents get on in years and sometimes lose their full faculties, and sometimes you have a situation where they don't have the full das that they used to have, and sometimes it could be embarrassing. It could be very embarrassing. Or the parent is deranged, and the child's walking in the street and the parent is acting in a deranged manner. That does not absolve the child from the obligation to honor the parents. It doesn't matter. The only time it would come up would be in a situation where the parent is being dangerous. If the parent's being abusive to the child, that's different. That's different. That nobody has to endure that. But so that there's no, the child would have the right even to call the police. That's not something that the person could forego. But short of that, I'm not discussing that. When the parent is inflicting harm on the child, that's a totally different discussion. That has nothing to do with any of this. But in a situation where the parent is just acting in an embarrassing way, the child just has to take it. It just has to say, well, you know, and you hope people understand. You know, everyone understands. Listen, it's not, it's embarrassing, but it's not me. You see the situation. What could I do? Right? So, and lehefach, everybody who sees it has to be understanding. A person who sees it, you know, a lot of times we like to tell stories and becomes gossip. What could you do? Things happen in the world, and everyone has the situations, and this is the situation that they're in. So Nebuch, they have trouble. The parent is losing it, but that does not remove the mitzvah of kibud av v'em. I remember my grandmother, Zichrona Livracha, who lived in my house for many years after my grandfather passed away. So at the end of her life, my father's mother, she unfortunately was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and she got to the point it was impossible. She needed round-the-clock help, so we put her in a nursing home. My father and my uncle put her in a nursing home, but they used to go. I don't think there was a day, and certainly not 2 days, or never a 48-hour period that she wasn't visited by someone in the family. And I remember hearing from the nurses in a Jewish nursing home in Brooklyn, New York, right? A Jewish nursing home in a place of many, many thousands of Jews, where the nurses were saying that it's so nice that you come to visit your grandmother, they said to myself or to my sister, that it's so nice that you do that, because a lot of the people here, we never see the children, and the only time they ever hear from their children is that on Mother's Day, the mother will get a call. On Mother's Day, the mother will get a call, and that's the extent of it. Now, that's wrong. That's 100% wrong. Because just because of the fact that, even though the parent, you'll say, well, why should I visit the parent? They don't even know who I am. They don't know. They'll go with Nebuchadnezzar. You have situations like that. All the time is the child is sitting with the parent. They don't even know. The parent doesn't know who the child is. That does not remove the obligation of keep it of aim. And they say over, give me one second, this is a very beautiful story. They say over, of Yosha Ber Soloveitchik, that Sal, they say over that at the end of his life, he also, I believe, suffered from some disease like that with Alzheimer's. And he had a daughter who lived in Boston. Tversky was her name, the last name. And she took him into the house. And also he got to the point that unfortunately he did not recognize who she was. So they say a story that one time in particular, there was one day that he was being very difficult, and she was being very patient to him, and she served him and took care of all his needs, and eventually he calmed down, and he said to her, as he calmed down, he had no idea who she was, he said to her, you know, I just want to thank you. I know this was a difficult situation for you, but I want to thank you and for everything that you do for me and everything that you've done for me. And even though, he said, even though I don't know who you are, but one thing I could tell is that you must be a Bas Talmud Chacham. You must be the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. Right? I could tell from your actions. Right? So, amazing. Amazing. In other words, so you see a few things from that story. You know, you see how much the Torah was a part of a person. The Torah was so much a part of him that even in a deranged state, but he still identifies a woman who acts with kindness as a Bas Talmud Chacham. But the fact is, but in other words, that's really the dictate of the halacha. A person can't say, well, they're out of it, so goodbye. It's embarrassing. I don't want to go. I'll go visit them. It's so embarrassing for me. There's no thing like that. There's a chiyuv keep it aveim even in such a situation. Okay, yes, I'm sorry. Yeah,
yes, so many times you're in a guilt-generating situation where you have to Baker Act the parent.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so it's difficult. It's true, you have situations like that, parents get violent and dangerous, okay? So obviously we can't, it's hard to cover every situation, and you know, like when there's going to be a threat of danger and physical harm, so you have to take it, it goes into a different domain, but still, you know, it does not release the child completely. You can't just say, forget it, it's over. You know, the parent can't help me. Unfortunately, in today's society where everyone is self-centered, so a lot of times the reason why parents get treated that way by their children is because, you know, you can't help, you know, it's what have you done for me lately? You know, that's the attitude of the culture that we live in. You know, so 60 years ago, I was getting up in the middle of the night to take care of you. You don't remember that, you know, because now you can't help me anymore. Now I make much more money than you do. You know, the child says to the parents, I don't need you anymore. So that's terrible. Right, that's a terrible attitude, totally against the Torah. Okay, now, the next thing would be, what about a situation of adopted parents? Now, adopted parents, so here, just in if you're keeping score, right, so the foundation of Kibbutz Av V'Em is because of the fact, ultimately, that the parents brought the child into the world, right? So an adopted parent did not bring the child into the world, nor is the adopted parent an extension of the parent, as is the case by a step-parent. In other words, by a step-parent, so there's a mitzvah because of the fact that when I'm honoring my father's wife, I'm honoring my father. When I'm honoring my mother's husband, it's because I'm honoring my mother. But here you don't have that, because these are total strangers who adopted the child. So here, the poskim say that for these reasons, technically, the mitzvah in the Torah of Kabbalah Savicha Vesimecha does not apply, meaning the strict dictates does not apply. However, all the poskim say that there is nevertheless a great responsibility of hakaras hatov. There is a great chiv of hakaras hatov. So even if this mitzvah is not going to be in play, but there's no way that any human being could say, could be disrespectful to people who raised them, even if those people were not their parents. In other words, the fact is that the adopted parents gave the child everything other than life. In other words, they did not give the child life, but everything beyond that, they did give the child. So to say that therefore the child can just say, well, you know, you're not my parents, so I don't have to listen to you. So that's wrong. Even though, again, technically the mitzvah itself, the chiyuv ha-mitzvah would not be there. The strict dictates in a mitzvah would not be there. But it's said by all poskim that there is a great responsibility to show appreciation, not to be ungrateful. And therefore, again, to whatever degree the child could do it, they should try not to contradict, not to embarrass the parent, not to, you know, to help out the parent because of the fact that everything that was done. Now, at the same time, because the mitzvah is driven by the fact that the parents brought the child into the world, an adopted child, if he ever found out who his parents were, would have an obligation to honor his parents because they brought him into the world. So that he can't say, well, that, you know, they abandoned me or they put me up for adoption, you know, they had nothing to do with me. Because again, the fact is a person has life. And they gave you life. So that is the underlying principle behind everything. So that's something a person can't disregard. So you could be upset, and depending on the situation, a person may have, you know, certain hard feeling, whatever it is, but the responsibility to show honor would still be there. But certainly to the adopted parents, there would be an absolute chiv of hakaras hatov, even though technically not the mitzvah of kibud av
v'aim. What about grandkids? Life really, you know, came down from.
Yeah, so with grandparents also, there's an inyan of yeah, but it's not the parents is the most. Parents is the, because they're the ones that directly brought him in. Now, yes, go ahead.
What is the nature of the penalty for the child who doesn't do the mitzvah?
So the child does do the mitzvah is an interesting question. The child does the mitzvah is not punished by Beis Din for certain technical reasons in the laws of mitzvahs. Mitzvah shematan, matan schara, betzida, whatever. There are different reasons that a person, the Beis Din, cannot even technically get too involved in forcing a child to do it, but the punishment is very great. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, I mentioned at the beginning of the shir, that Rabbi Yochanan was born a total orphan. He was born, the great Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara, so he was born, he had, his father passed away when the mother was expecting, and the mother passed away in childbirth. And about him, the Chazal say that he had one advantage, was the fact that the strict dictates of the halacha he never had to fulfill because he didn't have parents to fulfill with. So the point being that on the one hand, the person is not punished by Beis Din for not keeping it, but on the other hand, you know, the Torah says, L'man yarichun yamecha, the Torah says that a person who honors his parents will have long life, and the Chazal say it means ba'olam hazeh, and primarily ba'olam haba. That this is a very, very great mitzvah. It's one of the chamuros. This mitzvah is considered one of the severe mitzvahs. And I just want to point out as an aside that it's a strange thing that it's not taken more seriously. You know, everybody, it's already starting, the getting closer and closer to Pesach. You know, women hear that word already start, you know, shaking, you know, the Tu B'Shvat, you know, to men don't say Tachnun, and women start getting nervous, you know, because that means it's almost, you know, Pesach is already on the horizon. Certain mitzvahs we take very seriously. Pesach, Shabbos, but this is right there. Kabbis Avicha V'Simecha is in the same ballpark in terms of severity. It's not a chiyuv misa if a person doesn't do it for certain reasons, but in terms of severity of the mitzvah, it's right there with the top mitzvahs in the Torah. And yet, very often people are not even educated in this. People are not taught this. They don't, you know, I don't know why, but it really should be. This is a mitzvah that's a basic mitzvah that applies all the time.
Have you observed any difference in adherence to this between Sephardim and Ashkenazim?
If there is, it's probably cultural more than the fact. I'm saying it could be the Ashkenazim, I think, tend to be wise guys more than the Sephardim. I think show a little more respect. I don't want to insult anybody, but I'm an Ashkenazi, so I could say it, right? But I think that, I don't think that's necessarily because they study the laws more. They just, you know, okay. Now, a married woman, does she have an obligation to continue to honor her parents? So the answer to this is yes and no. Okay, a married woman technically is first and foremost is supposed to be given over to her husband. So therefore, if it's a question of cooking supper for her husband or cooking supper for her parents, she is absolved from cooking supper for her parents because she is obligated first and foremost to her husband. So therefore, technically, a married woman is removed from a lot of the chiyuvim of kibud aveim, but the poskim say that this is really only in situations where they come in conflict. But if they don't come in conflict, meaning if she could easily honor her parents and it will not contradict in any way, will not interfere with her obligation to her parents, so then she should do it. Okay, so therefore, really, you have a situation. The Rambam says it's not here. But it's brought in the poskim that essentially, if she's able to do it, and certainly, if the husband is not makbid, even in situations where it does conflict with her husband, if the husband says, it's okay with me, you could go on to your parent. But first and foremost, her obligation is to her husband more so than to the parents. But if she could accommodate both, then she should try to accommodate the parents as well. Okay, next question would be, what happens to the mitzvah of honoring parents when the parents are not religious? Okay, irreligious parents. So now you'll say, so why, what's the difference? They brought me into the world. But on the other hand, in the Torah we find that there are certain standards of honor that are only given to people. One of the foundations of honoring people is when they're osa maisa amcha, that when they act in the way of how Jews are supposed to act. And therefore it comes a question amongst the poskim, amongst the Rishonim, is there a responsibility? Does a mamzer have to honor his parents? Okay, imagine that, right? Hey, you have a kid, right? The parents are in an illegitimate situation, and this is the child. Does a mamzer have to give respect? So if you look on the second side of the page here, in Halacha Yud Beis, so the Rambam says, the Rambam's opinion is, Misha hayu ovi v'imo rishoim gemurim, for over averus, that even if they were wicked people and committed many sins, then afilu nigmar dinam lahariga, even if they were sentenced to death by bezdin, v'heim yotzen leharig, and they're being led out to be executed, osalo lakosan lakalam, a child's not allowed to say anything bad. The child has a chiv of kibud aveim, even to parents who are off the derech haTorah completely. That is the Rambam's opinion. Now, this is not the only opinion. The Torah says differently. The Torah is a raya from a Gemara in Bava Metzia elsewhere, that the Torah says that this is only true if the parents did tshuva. But if the parents are continuing to go in the ways which are against the Torah, then the child does not have to follow these dictates of halacha. Okay, so it's a machlokas haposkim. However, as it applies today, we could factor in the ruling of the Chazon Ish, which is often said that a lot of people today who don't observe the Torah are not considered Balei Aveira in the literal sense, but rather they're considered Tinoka Shenishbu. They're considered like children who were taken captive, meaning that they were never taught the right thing. How are they supposed to know what the Torah says? They were never sent to school. They were never sent to yeshiva. They didn't go to a girl's school that would teach them the mitzvahs. So they're absolved for not knowing what there is. In other words, the Rambam or the Torah could be speaking in a situation where they know it's wrong and they do it anyway. In other words, a person who knows they had a good chinuch and then they went ahead and said, who needs this? And they go ahead and flout the laws of the Torah. So that would be when the machlokas applies. However, generally speaking, even with irreligious parents, there's a mitzvah of kibud aveim. And this is something that people have to take into consideration. Of course, it could get challenging, because you go into, especially younger people, when, they're honoring their parents, but, the parents are doing all things which are, the child is becoming, observant of mitzvahs, and to continue to stay with the parents is very difficult for them, because they're exposed to all kinds of hardships and all kinds of challenges. So, okay, but at the same time, there is still, you can't just disregard what the parents say in that situation. And finally, the case of a ger, a person who converts to Judaism. So here we have the basic rule in the Gemara that gerishin is gayer, is kekotin shenola dummy, that a convert is considered the equivalent of a newborn child. And that means that basically all his filial relationships, all his family relationships are broken, and his parents are no longer considered his parents, his brother is not his brother, and so forth. So what is the situation there? So there's a basic rule in the Gemara that says as follows. The Gemara says that even though technically a ger is like a newborn person, but nevertheless he can't marry his sister. Why not? Because it would be a chil Hashem, because people will say that he went mikdusha chamura l'kdusha kala. Because people, the non-Jews of the world will say, look at this, this would be considered incest by our laws. In the American law, that would be considered incest to do such a thing. But now he went ahead and became Jewish. Now he went ahead and converted to the Jewish religion. And now he's able to do this. So what kind of religion is that? It brings down the standards. So anytime you have a situation like that, the halacha is that a ger, for that reason, has to observe the law. In other words, even though technically it's not considered his parent, but nevertheless it would be a tremendous chil Hashem for people to say, well, he disregards his parents because they're not considered his parents anymore. You know, what do you mean? They gave birth to him, and until now he was respectful to them. Even the goyim have the mitzvah. It's considered a mitzvah sichli. It's a logical mitzvah. So therefore, the Rambam here says that, and this is the final point there on the top of the second side, a ger is not allowed to hit his parent or to embarrass them. The people should not say that he's stepped down in his observance of morality, because look, now he's embarrassing his father. However, that does not mean that he's fully obligated in the mitzvah of honoring. In other words, the strict dictates of this mitzvah he does not have. So therefore, he has to give some honor to his father, but not the full extent that the Torah demands. So that covers it. I think we've hit on every possible situation. I'll take questions way over the time, but this is something, all I can say is that these things come up a lot. And this mitzvah is probably, from all the mitzvahs in the Torah, the least appreciated as far as where it stands in the hierarchy. This is a very, very severe mitzvah, and hopefully, you know, we could take it to the degree that, seriously, to the degree that it needs to be taken.